Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part three of our three-part interview with Mr. Productivity himself, Mark Strucheski. Now, Mark is known as Mr. Productivity because he helps CEOs and business leaders and executives to gain control of one of the most precious commodities they have, and that is time. And time can never be regained. Once you lose it, it's lost. So he helps to show them, and in this interview, he's helping to show you how to take control of your time, become more productive with the time that you have, and to tame those distractions. Now, if you missed any of the preceding two episodes, you need to go back and catch up, because we're backing up and rewinding just a little bit, just to make the show flow a little bit better and to give you a little bit more background. You know, if you heard me at the end of part one episode for the first part of this interview, this was just such great information. I just couldn't just do it in two interviews and end up editing some out. I wanted to play every minute for you. So this is part three. This will conclude our interview with Mark Strucheski. Now let's jump right back into him as I talk to him about LinkedIn and how to use that in today's environment. LinkedIn, I think, and the way you're talking, I believe you do as well. LinkedIn is like a better value for business branding than any other social media.
100%. I mean, because LinkedIn is not Facebook. And although some people don't understand that, they're putting vacation pictures. I'm like, that's not what LinkedIn does. Right. LinkedIn right. is all about value. And I'm one of these really weird people. I'll just go off on a little tangent here. I don't like ads. I hate ads. I hate advertising. And people go, well, how are you supposed to promote your product? By giving value, giving massive value. What I do is like I have the 7-day productivity challenge. Okay. I give away, you know, you can apply for a 45-minute coaching session with me. You know, I give massive value through my podcast, through shows like yours. And then people go, wow, if he gives this stuff for free, man, I wonder how great the coaching would be. Yeah. Okay. So that's what I do. I believe that people need to stop advertising as a whole, and they need to start giving value, because when you give value, what you're doing is you're proving your wealth before you ask for money. It's kind of like if you met a member of the opposite sex the first night, you wouldn't say, hey, I love you. Will you marry me? That's weird. But that advertisers are doing that all the time. Most advertisers, or certain some advertisers, know how to do the game right. You have to get to know the people, build the relationships. So I spend a lot of time building relationships. If I'm sitting there, and don't judge me here, Bob, but if I'm sitting there before church, you know, and I'm prepared for church, it's like 20 minutes before the service starts, I'll open up LinkedIn and I'll just reply to people. And people go, it's Saturday night. I'm like, yeah, but you know, you took the time to reply to my post. I wanted to give you some kudos. Now, I don't do it during church, so don't think that when the pastor's up there preaching, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not doing that. But anytime I spare time, I will jump on LinkedIn, maybe 3 minutes here, 5 minutes here. Mm-hmm. But it's always about adding value. It's never consuming. Well, not never. Most times it's not consuming. It's about adding value.
Amen. You also talk about social accountability. What is that and how does that work?
You saw my recent podcast. Thank you for checking it out. The problem is a lot of people say, you know, someday I'm going to dot, dot, dot. Man, I want to dot, dot, dot. But when you actually say it to the world, that's social accountability. And what Bob's referring to is I shared some of my goals on a recent episode of my podcast. I think it's episode 445. And I told people one of the goals I want to be is make $1 million a month. Now, that's a far-reaching goal for me. I know some people listening to this show are going, oh, I make that in a day. Good for you. I'm so happy for you. I'm not there yet. And another one of my goals, I want to own a private plane. Okay, now, not to say, because I have a private plane, I listened to one of the guys I follow. He says, nobody who has a private plane can financially justify it. You don't get it for that. You get it for the convenience. I think it'd be really cool to, like, I have an aunt who served this country, and she's like, she has trouble getting around, and flying is a hassle for her. It'd be really cool to say, hey, why don't you come down for a week? I'll send my private plane up there, pick you up, and guess what? Your private plane doesn't leave without you. There's no security because what do you do? Blow yourself up? It's kind of weird. So, I mean, that's one of my really, really, really huge goals, to own my own private plane. But I also want to have 1 million followers on social media. You know, I want to be debt free. So, and I want to have a New York Times bestselling book, which I'm going to start in 2020. So, you know, I think people need to tell the world their big goals, because there's something about telling the world. And then someone says, you know, when that episode came out, someone said, you know, you inspired me because my goals were too small. And now I'm telling the world. You start telling the world, now it's not, you're not just keeping it in your head or just to your spouse or your kids and your friends. Now you're telling the world. And now, yeah, most people are not going to care. But some people, if you inspire one person to think bigger, to dream bigger, and so social accountability, it doesn't have to be for goals. It could be for anything. When you tell the world, like a lot of people, you know, when they come out and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Well, you tell the world. You're not supposed to keep that under, you know, under a lampshade, under a bushel, as the Bible says. You're supposed to let the world know. And tell the world. Don't just tell your friends. Tell the world. Are you happy? Tell the world. I mean, I think that's what the whole social accountability is all about.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know in my day, you know, I mean, I'm in contact with people through the computer most of the day, some phone calls, but mostly online. What are some of the advantages of that as compared to having to go to a face-to-face meeting? I mean, face-to-face is, you know, obviously the best because you got that personal interaction. But not only that, but let's look at the flip side. What are some of the disadvantages and things to watch out for online as well?
Well, obviously, when you go face-to-face, you're meeting the person. You can see their facial expressions. You can do that on video to be sure. But the problem is, like, I only do coaching online because, first of all, I'm in Houston. You're in Baltimore. I'm not going to drive up there or fly up there for a 30-minute coaching session. That'd be insane.
Oh, man, I was going to ask you about that, too.
Well, if you want to pay for my airfare there and back and then pay for the lost time, I'd be happy to do that. But the thing is, online is so convenient. I mean, I could literally do an interview with you and then take a half hour break and then start doing coaching calls. If I had to go to you physically, it'd be really odd to coach someone while I'm driving, you know, and people are, you know, get roadblocks or, you know, weather and stuff like that. So, but you have to be careful when you're online, because like right now, the only thing on my computer is Zoom, which we're doing the recording over. Okay. Right. I don't have my email up. I don't have Facebook and Instagram up. It's just you. And the problem is with, you know, our technology, it's real easy. You're trying to hold a conversation and you ask a question and the person's going, and you know that they're looking at their phone because you're like, yeah. Could you repeat the question? Like, dude, don't. Right. So I never disrespect people like that.
Yeah.
I never disrespect people. When someone honors me by having them on their show, by inviting me on their show, I'm going to give them 100% of my attention. And the problem is when you're online coaching, doing a podcast, whatever, you got all these other buttons. Oh, I could click this one and I could still look. Bob doesn't see me right now. It's audio only. So he won't know if I'm surfing the internet, but the problem is I'm not completely paying attention. And you say something. So what do you think about Facebook? I'm like, well, you know, when you're on Snapchat, you're like, what? Is he not listening to me? So, you know, that's the downfall of doing things online. But again, everything has a blessing and a curse, and we get to choose what it is.
Amen. Now, one thing I was reading, I was surprised that you said, as a productivity expert,
oh, I know what you're going to go
with this. Okay to watch TV and play video games. I mean, is that right? How can that improve productivity?
I get asked this question so often, and people are saying, wait, he's Mr. Productivity, and he said it's okay to watch TV and play video games? Yes, but if
you're right back, I'm going to go turn on TV.
Now, there's an asterisk here, okay? I can't put it on the audio, but there's an asterisk. If you earn the right to watch TV, in other words, if you put in a good day's work, you set your objectives in the morning, which I think you should. I think you should put your objectives in the morning. I think you should, you know, figure out what your big three for the day is. You plan your day and you have a really good day, then watch TV at night. Not live. My wife and I don't have a cable or satellite, so we have TiVo. We record our shows over the air because we live in Houston. We live near all the antennas. So we got all the good shows for free, by the way, and or play your, you know, video games, whatever. If you earned the right. Now, some people say, well, you could be doing something else. You could be working. You could be building your brand. You could be creating content. That's true. But I think that if God wanted us to work every waking moment, there would be no pretty flowers and trees. There would just be everything. It would be a concrete jungle on this planet. We were meant to enjoy life. So I don't have a problem watching TV. I have a problem with you watching 6-7 hours of TV a night. Now, yeah. I love football. Okay, I love football, and I use a planner which gives me morning prompts like what's your day gonna be like, and evening prompts like what happened today. And every time I watch football at the end of the night, it says what didn't you do well today? I'm like, I watch football. I like watching football, and I know I shouldn't watch football because it's 3 hours, but I found a hack. Here's the hack for watching sports. This is gonna really sound sacrilegious to a lot of people, but don't watch it live. Here's what you do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You start recording the show, the game, and then a 90 minutes in it, you stay off of social media, okay? And then you start watching it. Guess what? You can go through fast forward through timeouts, through commercials, through halftime. And so now you're not watching a game in 3 hours. Now you're watching it like an hour and 10 minutes.
Right.
Okay? And college football is even more ridiculous because I couldn't figure out why a college football game takes 4.5 hours. That's because every time there's a first down, they stop the clock. With the pros, they don't do that. They just walk they keep the clock running. So, but you don't have, there's no law saying that you have to watch any TV program live. So record it on your DVR, or if you're watching it streaming, well, there's no commercials anyways. You get like the higher paid plans on Hulu, Netflix, watch one or two episodes. Don't binge watch a whole season in one night. If a new season comes out on Amazon Prime, don't watch all 8 episodes. That's like 8 hours. Don't watch that much TV. Guess what? You can watch 2 hours tonight. Nothing's going to happen. 2 hours tomorrow, 2 hours the next night. But what happens is people sit down there and they watch TV live, or they watch the commercials, and they don't have any plan. So yes, you can watch TV as long as you've earned it. Now, if you just like goofed off all day, no, I don't think you should watch TV or play games. You didn't earn it. It's just like, when you train a dog something, you give him a treat, okay? Well, if you didn't do the trick by working hard all day, you shouldn't get the treat of playing video games or watching TV.
Amen. Amen. Here's something I want to go back to. Early in the interview, you said that one of the top distractions is ourselves.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? And how can we fix ourselves so we don't distract ourselves?
Well, what I mean is, like, I work from home, and how I get in my own way is I say, okay, I'm out of water. I drink water all the time. And my wife and I we get those 5-gallon bottles delivered to our house. Mm-hmm. And I walk out there and I get my water, put in my Contigo. And then it's like an Arctic, only smaller. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? Should let the dog out. So I go outside and let the dog out. Dog goes out there, takes care of business. Then she lays down until I get a chair and I sit there for a few minutes. And then I go back in the house and like, oh, you know what? She put a load of laundry in the washing machine. And oh, you know what? I should empty the dishwasher. And so that's me. That's me getting in my own way. All I wanted to do is go out and get water and come back. So now what I do before I come in my office, if I'm going to work like for an hour in my office, I make sure my cup is full of water. If it only has a little water left, I drink it and fill it back up again, because that's one of my problems is that that's a danger when you work from home. Yes, you have the convenience that you can work any hour you want, but the problem is you have all these other things. Someone comes to your door, a neighbor walks by, you go out and talk to them. All of a sudden it's like, what just happened? I lost 2 hours. And if you were in a work environment, it could still happen, but not to the degree. So what you have to do is set yourself up for success. If you're going to sit down and you're going to create an episode for a podcast, you're going to write your show notes. Well, then you make sure that the only thing up on your screen is the notes, what you're going to do. Now, I do this on index cards. I don't do it on my computer, because if I just have index cards, I can go someplace like out in the backyard, my dog's laying in the sun, and I'm jotting down show notes. Or if I come up with an idea to create a blog post, I'm writing it on a notepad. So I can be out there. And the news that this is going to be shocking to you, Bob, when you are writing on a notepad, you don't get pop-up notifications. It's the most amazing thing.
Affect you?
It's crazy. I mean, I'm not like writing on a piece of paper and all of a sudden the paper gives me a notification. So it's amazing how that works. So I just think that all this stuff comes up with, you have to set yourself up for success to be productive. And it takes intentional effort for you. You can't make excuses. You can't say, well, I couldn't help myself going on Facebook. So someone put a gun to your head and forced you on Facebook? No, you chose to be on Facebook. And here's the thing. I believe people go on Facebook because it's easier than writing a blog post or creating a podcast episode or doing something like that. It's easier just to go scrolling endlessly on right. Facebook. So it it goes back to adulting.
Amen. Amen. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, on your blog post, I read about Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore. Can you give us a summary of that tongue-in-cheek article that you wrote?
Now, I'm hoping that most of the people who are listening to the show know who Winnie the Pooh is and Eeyore is, okay? Winnie the Pooh was a very happy person. I mean, he would go scoop the honey out of the tree, didn't care about the bees. He was like, I'm Winnie the Pooh, and I'm super happy. And Eeyore was like, sky is falling. It's never going to work out. And I'm like, are you a Winnie the Pooh or are you an Eeyore? Because if you want to be the most productive version of yourself, you got to be happy. You got to embrace positivity. You got to reject negativity and sadness. I don't care what's going around around you. We had a big storm hit Houston yesterday, September 19th. Mm-hmm. And I made a video and says, you know what? I was smiling in the video because I'm actually listening to Dale Carnegie. I'm reading Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I'm reading How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And he talks about smiling in there. And he goes, smiling mm-hmm. makes you feel good and helps you be more positive. And so I encourage people, take a look at yourself and ask you, honestly, answer yourself very honestly, am I an Eeyore or Winnie the Pooh? And you're going to know. You're going to know, oh my gosh, I'm an Eeyore. Oh, you know it. So become more of like Winnie the Pooh. You know, let things, hey, look, life is going to happen. People are going to die. You're going to get speeding tickets. The internet's going to drop out. Social media is going to go offline. You know what? You can either smile and go, hey, you know what? It is what it is. Or you can get angry and say, oh, how dare my internet cut out? Yeah, someone was out to get you and your internet provider cut your line just to make you mad. There's no conspiracy. So I am trying to worry less, smile more, embrace positivity, and realize, you know what? When I post something on social media, sometimes it gets a lot of views. Sometimes it's crickets. It used to bother me. I'm like, you know what? I think that was a pretty good piece of content. It just didn't hit. No big deal. And so choose to be a Winnie the Pooh and reject being an Eeyore.
Amen. Amen. Now, one thing that you brought up a few minutes ago was how you schedule, you know, 30-minute blocks and things like that. I tend to schedule everything on my phone, on the calendar on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I used to carry around a pocket calendar, and then I graduated to a day planner. Because mm-hmm. just wasn't enough room in the pocket calendar to write. But now it's all on my phone. And, you know, like I said, whenever I'm at the doctor's office and they want to hand you the little card for your next appointment, even if it's a year from now, like who's going to keep a business card for a year? Yep. I tell them, no, I don't need that. I'll put it on the phone, because if it's not on the phone, it is not going to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I've also tried to use the to-do list and all that. I haven't had much success at that. I mean, it seemed like, you know, I might have a list of, okay, these are the 7 things I need to do tomorrow, and the first 2 or 3 get done. And then I add the remainder to the list for the next day and add 3 or 4 more. And after 4 or 5 days, I just kind of trashed the list because it just didn't happen. You know? Mm-hmm. Now, is that me or is that normal?
Well, as a productivity expert, I go back and forth trying different things. What I have found works best for me is I use a planner by a gentleman named Brendan Burchard. He's got a high-performance planner. You can get it for Amazon for like $18. And the reason why I like it, again, it's got the morning prompts, like what kind of day you want to have. It's got the evening prompts, like what kind of day did you have. Across the top, what are my big 3 priorities? What are my tasks? And then it's got a place for planning. So I actually write my plan out by hand, and mm-hmm. then I transfer it to my iPhone. Okay. There's something magical about writing it out in your own handwriting first and then transform it. Cause then you're going to like, wow, okay, I have to get these 3 things done. These are my 3 big things I need to do today. Okay. Where am I going to put? Okay. I got a meeting here, a podcast here. So you put that stuff on your calendar and you fill in the spots. And then once everything's done, then you flip it and you put it on your iPhone. But I do the same thing you do. Someone says, hey, listen, you got a dentist appointment in 6 months. I will put it on my phone And then the night before I plan my tomorrow, oh, I got a dentist appointment. So I put that in the planner. There's something very powerful, even though it's on your iPhone, to actually write it in a planner, because now it becomes more real. You're not just like using your thumbs. You're actually using your whole brain to think about it, and you're writing it out. And so I've been doing that way since January of 2019, and it's been very effective. Even though I took that same stuff and put it in my iPhone, actually planning it on the planner has really helped me, because I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is not going to take 30 minutes. This is going to take 90 minutes. But sometimes if you're on the phone, you're just trying to wing it in your head. But when you're looking at the paper, the planner, you're like, no, I need more time. And so I found that to be very effective. But I do have everything on my iPhone, because I do not, my planner never leaves my bedroom. It's right on my nightstand, because I do it last thing before I go to bed and first thing in the morning. So it never leaves my bed. But I take the time to plan in the planner. And I do the planner, by the way, 7 days a week. So like today, we're recording this on September 20th. It's a Friday. Because of my wife's work schedule, Fridays and Saturdays are my weekends, not Saturdays and Sundays. And so people go, what are you planning today? Well, the only thing on my schedule today is this interview. But I still did the morning prompts, and I still did the evening. I'll still do the evening prompts today, because it gets me to have it. Okay, what went well today? Oh, wow. I didn't do anything well today. And then it keeps it at the top of my mind. At the end of the week, you do the weekly review. At the end of the month, you do the monthly review. And it's been really helpful for me. I've used a lot of planners. This is by far the most effective for me. Now, I'm not saying it's effective for everyone, but for me personally, I recommend it.
Hey, man, I believe on your website, you call that your biggest productivity tip, to write everything down.
Oh, yes.
Remember, right?
Yes. And I think it's funny, because one thing I tell from the stage is, I say, as far as I know, in every country in the world, that when you're driving, you can pull over and then you can make a note. See, a lot of people go, oh, I won't forget it. Yeah, you will. Yeah. Murphy's Law is whatever can go wrong will. My productivity version is that the thing you need to remember most is the first thing you're going to forget. So if you're in the car with somebody and an idea comes to your head, because you know, if you're an entrepreneur, ideas come like without warning, they just pop in your head. Yeah. You need to record that immediately. So someone's in your car with you, say, hey, write this down. No, don't finish your sentence. Write this down before I forget it. And you tell them to write it down, or put it in your phone, or say, hey, just text it to me. If you don't capture it, you're going to forget it. Now, if you're alone, if you have the lady on Apple devices, I don't want to say it because then she'll wake up. Then you speak the text. If you have Google, use Hey Google. If you've got Alexa, add less. Don't wait. As soon as the idea pops in your head, I don't care if it's for a podcast episode, a blog post, to pick up bananas. If you don't record that right away, you're going to be at the store and go, what else do we need? I don't remember, because you didn't write it down. So capture everything immediately. It doesn't matter if you put a reminder to it or whatever. It just the thought of capturing, because you go, I forgot. Wait a minute, I wrote it down someplace. Now you got it. But if you don't write it down, it's lost.
Amen. Amen. Well, Mark, as we're getting ready to close, I mean, it seems like time just flies by whenever I'm involved in a great discussion like this. Can you tell our listeners about your 7-day productivity challenge?
Yes. So my 7-day productivity challenge, I know people are busy. I know that they have a lot of things to do. And so over the course of 7 days, I give you very simple strategies on how to be more productive. It's not like 42 things. Because I know it's going to overwhelm you, and overwhelm is going to call it procrastination. You're not going to do it. So over the course of 7 days, I give you simple strategies. And the first couple of them are like really strange. And then like, okay, well, are you doing them? Because someone says, well, this is so easy. I'm like, are you doing them? Like touche. So I want to get people momentum. I want to get the ball rolling. And so I give you very simple strategies, and some of them are going to be like really crazy. I'm like, that's too easy. Yeah, but you're not doing it now. And I do these things. Everything I teach, by the way, Bob, is stuff that I do. So I know it works. I didn't read a book and regurgitate. This is stuff I do. So I know it works. And so all they have to do is go to MrProductivity.com. Mr is all spelled out. The very top of my page, it says, join the 7-day productivity challenge. Just give me 2 minutes a day. Read the email and do as I say. It's not that hard. And if you go through all 7 days, I am really confident if you do everything I say, you'll be more productive. And again, we're doing little steps. We're not trying to summit Mount Everest here. We're trying to take the first step.
Amen. Amen. Well, Mark, I appreciate your time and coming on and sharing all of this with our listeners today. And if someone wanted to reach out to you, ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you again?
Just go to MrProductivity.com. You can either send me a message through the contact tab or hit me up on the DMs on social media. All the links to all the social media sites I'm on are at the bottom of my page. I really want to hear from people. And the sad part about it is a lot of people hear me make that pitch and very few people actually do. They go, well, everybody's doing it. Nobody's doing it. Okay. Everybody thinks what you're thinking. Everybody else doing it. I love hearing from people. And when you send me a message saying, I heard your episode on Bob's show, you make my day. I mean, you bring the biggest smile on my face. My wife's had to make the doors bigger in the house because my head gets bigger when I get those messages. I love it because that tells me I'm serving you. And Bob, I really trust I served you and your audience today.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll be putting links to all those social media places down in the show notes below as well.
Thank you.
Folks, who out there does not want to be more productive? Not just in your job, but life itself. I mean, there's not any area of your life that cannot be improved upon. Not one. From school to work, from recreation activities to church and Bible study time, you can improve and become more productive. I encourage you, reach out to Mark, allow him to help you. I mean, it's not every day you get an opportunity to contact someone that can actually help you to become more productive. Praise God. Reach out to them, and the links are all down below. Mark, again, thank you for coming on the program, blessing us with this information today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. It's been an absolute thrill and a privilege to be on your show today.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Mark Strucheski and myself, this is Pastor Bob Romani. Be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.